Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's start now. Let's start now. Tell your neighbor.
Neighbor.
Pay attention.
God will talk to you.
Say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
I want to tell you something.
Ensure
you're talking.
And it's in a song.
Pay attention.
Pay attention.
Who are you talking to? I am glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord. So glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, you learned something today. You would. It's a month of change. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And you learned something instructive today. I'll be really fast, but it's really impactful. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you ready now?
Yes,
all right. Now, one thing God wanted every Christian to have immediately you got born again was the ability to cause a change. He wanted you to be able to change things. When Jesus walked on this earth, he acted like he could change anything. Do you know?
Yes.
He could change anything. Change water to wine. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So the girl is dead. He could change the situation. Think about it. You're standing somewhere and someone comes and tells you a girl is dead. You should ask, what is my business? To God be the glory. She has gone to a better place. And then Jesus said, oh, I'm coming. And he was going. He really believed he would change the situation, and he did. And so, Jesus is our prime example. And while he was leaving this earth, he was ascending, he told his disciples something. Go to Acts 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, wait for me. All right, I'm waiting. Acts 1, verse 8. Are you there now?
Yes, Pastor.
Jesus is talking, he's in red. If your Bible is not in red, come and meet me after service. All right, verse 8. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know, some people say, we don't have power, but we serve a powerful God. It's not true. No matter how nice it sounds, no matter how much you think God should be happy with that statement, it is false. Jesus said here, but ye shall receive power. If you receive power, that means it is your own. That means you have power. Now, what is power? Power is the ability to cause a change. So he wanted them to receive the ability to change things. Are you seeing it? So he told them, wait for the Holy Ghost to come. When he comes, you'll be able to change situations. You'll be able to change things. That thing that has been unproductive, you'll be able to change it and become productive. Now, if he says the Holy Ghost would give you the ability to change things, what does that tell you? It means God is not going to change anything for you. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He has given you the ability already. He provides the ability. You use it. Are you paying attention to me?
Yes, Pastor.
It's like God brings the food. Okay, he puts the food in your mouth. But you still have a job to do. You have to chew the food. You have to do what?
Swallow
the food. He won't chew the food for you. He won't swallow it for you. So he provides the ability. And then you do what? You change things. That was his plan. That was Jesus' plan. He says, you shall receive the ability to change things. He said, power is the ability to change things. And there are two variants of power. You have physical power. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you something. Don't be distracted. Some people are distracted by strange things. It's not a serious problem. What are you distracted by? They are counting the tiles on the floor. 1, 2, 3. No, I missed one. 1, 2, 3, 4. That is not from God. Something is getting your attention. So I can understand those that maybe are distracted by a serious problem. But the guy who's distracted by tiles, come on. Don't be distracted. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Pay attention to me. Okay? He said, power is the ability to change things. And there are two variants. There is what you call physical power. For example, if you were going somewhere and you saw a man with muscles coming, immediately you just think this guy has power. If I wanted to lift up something, are you in this place?
Yes.
I want to raise this up. I probably would not call Moyo. Even though she has received power. Who would I call? I probably call someone like Mr. Dixon or Pinks because of their bodybuilding. Are you in this place?
Yes.
So the way they look like they have power. So power, because they have power, they can change the location of this thing. Are you seeing it?
Yes.
It was here before. They can change it. They can move it from here to this place. The fact that they can move this AC from this place to that place, meaning they can cause a change, that means for sure they have some power. Are you in this place? You have that guy who likes to fight. So he's angry and he punches someone's face. He has changed the dimension of the person's face. That means he has power. Are you in this place? All right. So he's talking about ability. But I want to put it in the normal language. So two variants. So you have the guy that punches, something changes for sure. All right? But just a few days ago, people are protesting on the street, you know, right? Okay. And who do they want to cause a change? Come on, talk to me. Who do they want to cause a change? Government. No, it's not SARS they want to cause a change. They want the change to affect SARS, but it's not SARS. They want the government to cause a change. All right? And when they say government, who are they referring to? Come on, talk to me. Who are they referring to? Or some of you don't know there's protest. It's possible. Praise the Lord. They are referring to one man. Who's that? The president. Okay. Have you seen those SARS officials?
Yes, Pastor.
Have you seen them?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. Don't worry. I'm the one preaching. Calm down. Have you seen those SARS officials?
Yes, Pastor.
Do they look like the people I talked about recently that have power?
Yes.
That they can do something?
Yes.
Are you paying attention to
yes,
me? Those SARS officials, they look like if they stretch for their hand, something will change.
Yes.
Right? So they have power. Have you seen the president?
Yes.
If they came to a battlefield, so when they're calling on the government to cause a change, do you think the expectation is the president will now come and say, yeah, let's go and fight them? Is that what they're waiting for?
No.
They believe he has something more effective than that. He can speak and something will change. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Doesn't that show you words are more important than strength or substance?
Yes.
He can speak. He can write something. That's all they're waiting for. Think about it. For him to just say, all right, it has ended. The guy that had gone, that said, they're not going to disband us, nothing will happen. Once he says it has ended, he's gone. That means the president has power.
Yes,
are you seeing it?
Yes,
he can change the situation. He has power. He does. So you can look at you. When you got born again, your muscles did not increase. But you have the name of Jesus. Think about it. Here's a thought. If the president can speak and cause an agency to disappear, are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Then maybe it is possible that someone else with more authority can speak and cancer will disappear.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, Pastor.
If the president can speak and a ministry closes, But think about it. Even if someone might say, where's the money? Where's the money? If the president decides to say today, fuel is now 20 naira, something will happen. Some people might not agree, but something will happen. If he can speak and cause that change for the nation, who is the president of your own nation? I mean your family, your life, your body. If the president of Nigeria can speak and things will get cheaper or things will get more expensive, things will get easier or things will get harder, how about your own house? Who is the president there? Who is the president of that nation? It should be you. You should be able to talk and things will get easier for you. Let me tell you something. When things get harder in Nigeria, it doesn't affect the whole world. It affects that territory where the president has authority. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Doesn't. Now, when you get born again, the good news is he called you out from this world. So you're in the world, but you're not of the world. Oh, so if you're in Nigeria and the president says something, you can also speak and cut yourself out from that proclamation. So if things get hard for everybody, you can speak. I'm saying it just by talking. Did you notice? Just by talking, the president can make things harder or easier. So just by talking, your life can be harder or easier. You can choose to accept what the president has said and proclaim it over your family, or you can choose to accept what God has said and proclaim it over your family. But it's in your mouth. It's in your mouth. Who is the president of your body? Who is the president of your life? When would you talk to that ulcer so that it will go? Is the ulcer more powerful than SARS? That's only the ulcer in my way is doing me. Like SARS. Can't be like SARS. Who would talk? You. So Jesus said, hey, he wants you to have power. He wants you to be able to change things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
To be able to change things. Now, the president's power or authority, that's the right word. His authority is limited to this physical space. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
This physical space. But we have spiritual authority. And so we can give decrees in the spiritual space. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're staying in a house. You can do this. Or in a place where they're always stealing something. They're always stealing something. Who is the president of your place? You. When are you finally going to say something? You say in the name of Jesus, nothing missing, nothing stolen, nothing spoiled. When I was in school then, they used to steal laptops in the hostel. So I got this laptop when I was in 300 level. Are you listening to me?
Yes, Pastor.
Dell laptop. Very nice, solid laptop. And you know what I'll do? I'll stay up all night. You know what I was doing? I was watching videos. You know what type of videos? Message videos. So I was listening to messages all night. At times, the door is not locked. Maybe we're waiting for someone. And I'll just sleep off. Then I'll wake up. I'll look again. Then I'll sleep off. And, you know, I heard people say, you know, they can just come in and take it. Do you understand? It could be your roommate. Just come in and take the laptop while you're sleeping. Blow you breathe so you don't get up, and then they are gone. But I always said, if anybody touches my laptop, straight electrocution, and I will catch you there. If you touch it, you start to vibrate. And they didn't steal it. And they can't steal it. I said about that laptop. So who is the president of your property? You. So if the president who looks, you know, are you in this place? At times, one can say the challenge I'm facing is bigger than me. That's why I told you, the president and SARS, you can't even compare. Right? You can't. They are more built. They are more... Do you understand? They are younger. They are fiercer. But he has authority. So no matter how big and many they are, with his word, he can tell them, sit down, and they all sit down. So you can say that challenge is bigger than me, but you have authority. No matter how big it is, remember something. Remember something. There is no challenge that comes to you that God did not permit first. Always remember that. There is no challenge. That means God looked at it, looked at you, and thought, you're bigger. And so he let that challenge come. And so even if it looks big, you have authority. Say something. Are you in this place?
Yes,
say something. Someone says this challenge like a mountain. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Speak. Tell it to go, and it will go. Someone says, is it that easy? Yes. The Bible says in the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Was that not easy?
Yes.
God, who knows everything, did that, and it worked? Then it should be that easy. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Yeah. So that's one way to effect a change. You are the president of your family. You're the president of your life. And so you can speak and change things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You can speak and change things. Maybe you're losing your hair. You don't know why, but your hair is now falling. You comb it, and it's like half of your hair is gone. Now you barb it. You say African queen. But you know what is happening. It's not African queen. The hair is going. You're losing it. Who is the president of that hair? Is it not your own? You know, the funny thing is, the president doesn't own the people in SARS. They are not his property. He just owns the agency, and then he can tell them what to do. But the hair is your own. When are you going to tell it to stop falling off? Some people have never tried that. Then they go around and say, this is a difficult situation. I don't know what's happening. When are you going to talk to it? It will obey you. Are you in this place? It will obey you. I remember when, before I went to serve, I was in a particular place, particular family, and the other sister, we're talking. And while we're talking, she showed me her finger. Are you paying attention to me?
Yes,
she showed me her finger like this. And she said she had an accident and it's sprained. Okay? It's not okay. Do you understand?
Yes.
All right. And I told her, I can speak to it and get well, to get straightened. And she said, but she's believing God. She believes God. I said, no, but let me talk to it. She said, no, but she's believing God. Slowly, it will go. I said, okay, but let me talk to it. And so she brought it out like this. I said, in the name of Jesus, hand, finger be fixed. And she was quiet, and I was quiet, and I was looking, and she was looking. And I was looking. I thought, should I ask her, is everything happening? Because it didn't look like anything was happening. And then she said, oh my God, this thing is hot. What's happening? It's hot. What's happening? Then she put it, she said, I believe by the end of this year, it will be okay. But here's the point. I'll never forget that day. She was not, I was not even a pastor then. Do you understand? She was just someone I met in the house, and we were talking. But one thing that, because, you know, if it was a church service, someone said, okay, it's pastor, so the faith is there. Do you understand? She was not agreeing. I was the one who said, at least let me just try and talk. But here's the thing. When I spoke to the finger, it responded. That's the point. It responded. My younger sister, I've shared this story before. That same period, I went back home. And maybe I noticed it or she told me. But she'll be walking and to be like, you know, you have your knee and your lap is joined to your leg by your kneecap. Are you paying attention to me? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Look at the back. Am I making sense? All right. So this knee, this one is joining here and here. All right? And so while she's walking, at times, this one just moves out. Do you understand? You know, you can walk and everything is strong and okay. But she's walking and it moves out. And she can't do anything again. And it's painful. And so we were in the parlor and she told me. She said, okay, come, let me talk to the knee. So I talked to the leg. She said, in the name of Jesus, be fixed. I was holding the leg like this. This was both in our presence. The leg started doing like this. Did like that for a very long time. I even got tired. He was doing like this. Then he stopped. I said, how do you feel now? She said, okay. I said, but it doesn't happen every time, Abby. She said, yes. But I said, how do you feel? She said, feel stronger. So I said, go. When she came back from school, I think I didn't remember to ask her immediately. But later on, I said, hey, how is that knee? She said, hey! Let me tell you what happened, because she was in junior secondary then. She said, while she was going, that she mistakenly hit a senior with her knee. And it didn't pain her. This is a senior, SS2, SS3. She said, the senior now ran back and told her, what is wrong with your knee? Ah, it's so strong. I just thought, isn't God amazing? That incident had to happen. Do you understand? To prove that something had changed. But I said all of this to say, and it was not my body. I said all of this to say, these things listen and respond. Remember, if the word of God made everything, That means everything, the simplest unit of everything is the word. And so it will respond to the word. And so your hair is falling. When are you going to talk to it and say, listen, stop falling? When? It's as easy as that. You are the president of your own life. How can you trust a doctor more than your own mouth? The doctor doesn't know how he's doing you. Do you understand? Look, they say, I understand. You're feeling nauseous. I understand. Doesn't understand anything. Not feeling nauseous. You're the one who gets it. When are you going to speak to your own body? When are you going to speak to your family? When are you going to speak to your own business? Some people come waiting for pastor to give a prophecy about your business. It just might not happen. Why? Pastor has a tongue, you have a tongue too. Say what you want. You're the president of your life. Say, I'm the president of my life. Here's another thought. Go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. Some of you have to go and do that thing I said now. Maybe you're not saying it here, but your hand, you can't tell Waka again. You've insulted people, so the hand is not standing. Every time someone is on you. Every time. Now. But nobody knows. Nobody knows. They want to shake you. You use this hand. You do chop knuckle. But the hand is not standing. Nobody knows. Speak to the hand. It's your own. Are you in this place? Speak to the hand. Say, hand, listen to me. Behave. You know, this thing I'm saying, it might look strange, but it's something that you do every time. If someone is doing, and you know the person is talking to you. Are you in this place? Would you bring your head and say, talk, let me hear. Is that what's going to happen? Come on, talk to me. Is that what's going to happen? Or you bring your leg. I can't hear you. Speak. Is that what's going to happen? You bring your ear. You think, unconsciously, you think your ear can hear what that person is saying. You think it can get to your brain. Are you in this place? So if someone says, what part of your body hears? You say your ear. Your ear hears. Is your ear a human being? You are the one that hears. Right? But we say, what part of your body hears? You say, my ear. And it's true. It's true. How do I know it's true? Okay. Jesus healed. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Jesus healed the deaf. He spoke to deaf ears. What a contradiction. How do you speak to deaf ears? It is deaf. It cannot hear you. But then he told the ear, open up, and it opened. But it was deaf. Are you in this place?
Yes.
So how did that happen? Because everything responds to the word. Everything responds. Every time you have migraine, speak to that head. It's your own. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
It's your own. If I felt any pain in my body, I remind myself, it's my head. My head cannot be paining me. You have, think about it, in life, you have so many challenges. Conductor disturbing you. SARS disturbing you. Now your own head. I mean, those ones, you don't know them, but now your own property, your own head is now disturbing you. What's disrespect? It's your head. Proverbs 6, verse 2. So I should just stay and be talking to my head. Yes. Talk to your head. Some of you people talk to your head until now. Say, stupid boy, crazy boy, big head, small head. And you felt bad. Now it's your time to talk to your head. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Beautiful head, intelligent head, wisest head. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say, this is your head, so big. Book, only book inside. All right, Proverbs 6, verse 6. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, wait for me. This is verse 2. He said, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Thou art snared. What does snare mean? What does snare mean? It means trapped. He says, you are trapped with the words of your mouth. That means the things you say can trap you for life, can put you in a trap. There are people that 1 minute up, next minute down, 1 minute up. They are not moving forward. They are just in the same place. They are stagnant. It's like a trap. When they want to move, something would happen. They would go back. They are trapped in that village. They are trapped in on that streets. They can't make a decision. They are trapped in that company. Every year, say, I'll quit today. I'll quit. End of this year, I'm gone. But he'll be there in the Christmas party. Next year, I'm going. They can't talk to me like this. He's still there. Once you go in, huh? When I get another offer, I would go. He can't effect a change in his life. Nothing is changing. He's trapped there. Now, God knows everything. And he's telling you that your words can set a trap for you. So the guy comes one day, he thinks he's giving words of advice. He's a philosophical, you know, he's inspiring people philosophically. Then he comes and says, you know this life. It's up and down. Up for me, down for me at times. Up for you, down for you at times. People go, very deep. Just a digression. Remember, I was listening to someone, and the person was just speaking grammar. I started laughing. No, not against it. I'm laughing at myself. I don't understand what the person was saying. I know the funny part. The person will say something, you know, deep. And people go, hey! I was just laughing. Maybe they understood. Did you understand? But I don't know. Later. So the guy is saying that every time he's with his friends, he's the one giving them, you know, according to Aristotle, according to, you know, Socrates, according to this, according to the great Michael Jordan, basketballer, according to Cristiano Ronaldo, he knows all of them. And he's swearing for himself. Life is up and down. Then he comes to the office and says, I don't understand. I don't know why life is going this way. He's the one that set a trap for himself. At times, I just think what God thinks. He's the one seeing everything. He looked, he was there when the man was saying, life is up and down. Then the man comes and says, I've been going to church since. I don't know. So we're making progress. But see my life up and down. Yeah. He says, your mouth, your word. See, are you paying attention to me? I'm trying to follow my notes, but let me say this. When a child is born, one of the first, the most important thing you can teach that child is how to communicate. I need this place. Not walking. Walking is good. Normally, that's the first thing they begin to, you know, perfect. But the most important thing you can teach that child is how to communicate. How to communicate what he wants from others and what he doesn't want from others. So at times, the child looks like this, but he's hungry. So you have to teach him that when you're hungry, say, I'm hungry. Ask for food. Are you in this place? If you don't like this thing, say you don't like it. That's the first thing. That's the most vital thing you teach that child. Spiritually too. When you get born again, you have to learn how to communicate. Say what you want from life. And know what to refuse. When you were small, you could say, I want rice, but I don't want beans. Now you get born again. Life is more serious than rice and beans. Now you say, you know what? I want goodness and mercy chasing after me. I don't want sickness. So that's why every time it always comes down to your words. If you learn how to communicate rightly, not anything cannot just happen to you anyhow. The child that cannot talk, can't eat anything, even though he doesn't like it, cannot talk, cannot say, no, I don't want. But the child that can talk will say, no, please, I don't want this. This is what I want. That is how God wants your life to be. You learn how to communicate what you want and what you don't want. Are you paying attention to me? You learn how to communicate. Now it says your mouth can set a trap for you. You have communicated up and down. Life is what you want, and that is what you will see. Life of up, down, up, down. Then you open your mouth and say, nothing comes easy, yo. Nothing comes easy. Nothing is free. You have to work hard, I'm telling you. And you think you are matured now that you're saying it. So only serious when you're a child, everything. But when you grow up, you realize that nothing is free. Nothing comes easy. And your friends, they are saying it's true. You too, you say it's true. Now you're wondering why nobody favors you. Why? Anything you have, you must work hard for, you must sweat. You are in level one. The guy came with you. Now they moved him to level 4 because of something he did. You have to wait for 3 years before he moved to level 2. Now that you have moved to level 2, it's something to change. No, you now establish what you believe. Nothing is easy in this life. Now, it took you 3 years to move to level 2. It took you 5 years to go to level 3. And you keep spreading that message of nothing is easy. That's your gospel. You have to work hard. No. Favor is mine.
Favor is mine.
Favor is mine. Jesus taught his disciples about favor. Say, when you go to a city, ask who in it is worthy and stay there. He didn't say, work hard. Hey, you can't just enter people's house. Work hard. When you walk, cut their grass. After 3 days, sleep outside first. Sleep outside first. After you've cut it small, they'll let you in. You know, he said, stay there. Eat and drink. There will be food. There will be water. He said, eat and drink whatever is given to you. He says, look for who is worthy. That means don't go to any kind of house. Look for who is worthy. What is he teaching them? Listen, favor is yours. How can that be what God wants for you every time? You must work. Life is not easy. You must work hard. Heaven helps those who help themselves. What verse of the Bible? Suffering Bible chapter 1 verse 2. Heaven helps those who help themselves. You must work hard. No food for the lazy man. That is your philosophy. And you are surprised that you have to use one shoe for 10 years. You are surprised. It's your mouth. It's your mouth. It's not, it's your mouth. What do you do when you learn this? That's good news, though. If I can be trapped in suffering with the words of my mouth. No, think about it. People say you must suffer in this life from grass to grace. So you must experience grass. Not me. Before you know, you become a cow. So you must experience grass. No, is it a taboo if everything just goes easy for you? Did they swear for you? No, some people can't even, they can't think it. They've been so, they're so used to suffering. They can't think it. They can't calculate it. No. I break that bondage in the name of Jesus. Things can be easy for you.
Yes.
No, look at Jesus. He told his disciples, go to that, go. You see two streets that are meeting. You see a donkey and an ass. Lose it. Bring it. You know what donkey and ass there? It was car. Toyota Camry 2019. And the ass also, you can say that one is Toyota Corolla 2014. He said, bring it. See, if anybody asks you, tell them the Lord needs it. They went. They saw the donkey. They loosed it. People saw and said, what are you doing there? It was not their own. Neither was it Jesus' own because he told them to return it. What manner of favor is that? They were losing it. They said, what are you doing? They look at themselves. Let's just try what he said. The Lord needs it. He said, take it. No, but you must work hard. You're not going to ask. You're going to say, please, how many years can I work for you to rent that motor for 2 days? You are the one putting imitation with your own mouth. Now, have you ever seen so? Maybe you have 100 naira and maybe you want to fetch water and you don't have any problem fetching the water. The person can just come and say, please, can I have 100 naira? And then you give it to him. Someone else will come, the mindset of suffering. Please, I can fetch water for you for 7 days if you give me 200 naira. And you that would have given him 500 naira before. Say, oh, you can fetch water. Say, okay. Take. Actually, I make it 14. I'll give you 300. Why? He has a mindset of suffering. And that will be his experience. But here's the twist. If you can trap yourself in suffering and hardship with your mouth, then you can be trapped in prosperity. You can be trapped in health. You can be trapped in goodness. I mean, you are trapped. Do you remember Noah? The Bible says, after Noah finished building the ark, and then took himself, his family members, and the animals into the ark, it was God that locked him inside by himself. He trapped him in safety. So when the flood came, Noah was trapped in safety. Others were dying, but this man was trapped inside. He couldn't go out. Oh, praise the Lord. He couldn't go out. Everybody's suffering, but you're trapped in prosperity. say with your mouth, you can trap yourself. You're trapped in goodness. They are maltreating everybody in that office, but not you. You're trapped in goodness. Goodness and mercy chasing after you. You're trapped in health. You're trapped in favor. So instead of saying it's hard, no, favor is mine. Favor is mine. You have to change the way you talk to change your experience. You have to change the way you talk. At times, a family, what has trapped them? It's not from the village. It's because they have been passing this gospel of fibroid from one generation to another. Now, every lady has fibroid in her family. It's not genetics. If you grew up hearing that everybody, every woman in your house has fibroid, chances are you have too. You are expecting it. You know how they look when it begins to happen. Are you in this place? You know how it looks. Now you ate serious eba. That's why your stomach is big, but you think it's fibroid. And you know what? You are trapped with the words of your mouth. By the time you start saying, this thing might be fibroid though, it will change. It will change. Let me tell you a story. Testimony I heard. Real life. A woman wanted a baby. And she had been listening to a particular message. Walking by faith. Are you in this place?
Yes, ma'am.
Walking by faith. And I think what happened was she had had a child before, something, something. But she knew how it felt like when you get pregnant and you have a child. Are you in this place?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And so after she heard that message, she said, okay, I'm going to walk by faith. So in the morning, she'll wake up. She'll start doing what pregnant women do. Do you understand? She didn't put pillow in her stomach. Okay? But she'll start walking. Because she had been that way before, she'll start walking, you know. She'll sit down. Say, ah. There's nothing inside her stomach. But she was doing that. Guess what? She got pregnant. No, she didn't do it. It wasn't guesswork. No. What you do, rooted in God's word, would always produce results. It was the word of God that inspired her. And she did that. I'm saying that to say the person who eats eba and goes around telling people that it might be fibroid, would get fibroid and die. This one is a real life, so what I'm going to tell you now, then move on to the next thing. Two people, two men, one had cancer, one did not. They went to the doctor to get some test results. When the results came, how do we know this story? Because the doctor said it himself. When the results came, you know what happened? They switched it. The guy who did not have cancer was told he had cancer. The one who had cancer was told he's in a remission. That means the cancer is dying. So the one who had cancer, hearing that good news, went and started telling his family members and friends, I don't have it anymore. It's a miracle. The one who did not, getting the bad news, started saying, I have just a few days to live. He died. It was in that process they found out what happened. One person took bad news and made it his own. And affected him. The other person, truly, the cancer disappeared. Someone says, is it that easy? That's what I'm telling you. God made Solomon the wisest man and richest man in the world. In his dream, through talking. How else do you want him to explain to you that it's that easy? Okay, how did you get born again? Through talking. You were saved from hellfire just by saying something. How else would God show you that no matter how easy it sounds, it will work? How else? So instead of being trapped or stuck in that family problem where before you enter school, it must be 7 years. Until now, nobody even writes jam after work till after 7 years. Because it's 7 years in the year of promotion. Why don't you come out of that trap and trap yourself in favor? You can. He says you are snared by the words of your mouth. I like the word trapped because it can be a good thing. You can be trapped in righteousness, trapped in favor, trapped in mercy, trapped in health. They say there is Apollo, but you are trapped in hell. They say that guy's Apollo is seventh grade. Once you don't even look at him, just pass, it will enter your eye. But you are trapped in hell. It can't enter. The keys have been thrown away. So that problem cannot enter the trap, and you cannot go out to meet that problem. Trapped. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say glory. Yes. Listen, let me tell you something, okay? Everything I'm saying, please take this seriously. Mind what you say, even as a joke. If there are people with joke, they have ruined their lives. They don't even know because they can't even trace it to that joke. So they don't know. But that is what has kept them where they are. All of us go fail this course now. Now he fails it. He can't even remember he said that kind of thing. Satan, the Bible says, goes about as a roaring lion, looking for who to devour. I want you to listen to the way God put it. He doesn't go about devouring people. He's looking for them, meaning that they'll give him opportunity. Are you seeing it? He's going about looking, who has given me opportunity now? Who has given me opportunity now? He's not going about eating them, because he cannot eat them. Do you understand? He's looking for the person that has given opportunity. So now Satan is going somewhere. You say, ah, we have failed this course. You say, ah, opportunity has come. So he goes, and then you fail the course. We're supposed to read the one that will come out. He blows breeze. Now you're feeling sleepy. I cannot kill myself. I cannot kill myself. You go and sleep. You will fail the course. He's looking for opportunity. Don't give it to him. Speak the right words. Are you in this place?
Yes, sir.
Speak the right words. Take this seriously. Speak the right words. Say, imagine of us just dying now. Say, me, I cannot die. Say, hey, this one made this driver do like this. Make the break, no fellow. Me, I go heaven, sha. Now you are shocked that you are at the gate of heaven. Say, Father, my time is not complete. You're the one who said it. The Bible says Jesus, in front of Pontius Pilate, witnessed a good confession. I wish I could tell you this. He said, witnessed a good confession. Pilate asked him, he was about to die. When you're about to die and you're looking at a person that can save your life, is it not pity for me, sorry for me, you should be saying, please, please, if you're not going to be me, I'm the person. Praise the Lord. I heard some Nigerian family, when they go to the court and their relative is about to be sentenced, family members will be eyeing the judge. That's what you should be doing. Jesus in front of Pontius Pilate. Pilate said, are you a king? Because that is what they brought him for. They brought him, they said, this man is saying he's a king. He wants to take over the land. He wants to usurp authority. Now Pilate comes and says, are you a king? You know, they say that now. Look at me, look at me. Am I a king? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, you say I'm a king. He said, for this purpose was I born. Paul looked at that and said, he witnessed a good confession. Even when things looked tough, he could say the right thing. That is the man God said you should follow. You might be in a face me, I face you apartment. Speak your way out. Don't be shy. People in the apartment will say, ah, this house now, remember, one room. I go bring chair. Use curtain. Divide up. Turn to room and parlor. Toilet. Small, small. Like 5 years. 5 years. Room and parlor. You say, not me. I'm leaving this place. And the angels will hear you.
Yes.
Say, I'm leaving this place. Say, you won't take down. Say, goodness and mercy. Because the guy thinks it must be by hard work. But you know there's something called favor.
Yes.
There's something called favor. You can come out of it. But use your mouth. Use your mouth. Use your mouth. Why has that guy been a conductor for 50 years? He's old. His teeth are falling off. He's still shouting, Jolegba, Jolegba. What happened? He wasn't using his mouth. But you can use your mouth. Say, I'm making progress.
I'm getting better every day.
See, everything inside of me is functioning perfectly. Christ in me,
Christ in me,
the hope of glory.
From today,
I trap myself in prosperity. I trap myself in victory. I trap myself in abundance. Where there is lack, I am in abundance. Where there is sickness, I dwell in health.
Speaking all the time.